You are listening to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with your host, Randy Sutton. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. Thanks again for joining me this week. There is so much to talk about. I wish this show were a couple hours, quite honestly. But since I've only got a limited amount of time before we get to our pretty amazing guest this week, let's take a walk into the briefing room where I'm going to give you my view from the blue. Well, the madness continues. The madness continues all over America, but especially on the left coast. Let's talk about a couple stories that are hitting the news. The first that I want to talk about is, here's the headline. California University students call for disarming campus police. Now, I know this will shock you. It's from California. It's from the University of California. I mean, it seems like every week another story comes out from the University of California that just invokes the amazing politicization of policing. Now we've got the student council, the student government council, calling for disarming of the campus police. And I'm sure you're going to love the reasons why that they feel that the police shouldn't have guns. Well, here's the quote from the student senator. "It should never get to the point where a trained officer has to use their weapon in any sort of capacity to a student," unquote. So let's not even talk about the campus police or shootings where the active shooters have come onto campus and killed students. We don't want to get involved in that now. Another quote, "The university's resolution sponsor believes armed police officers, quote, put students in perpetual fear and tension, as well as impact the students' ability to function and their mental health." Well, their mental health. Okay, I've already got issues with their mental health, asking cops to walk around protecting them while they don't have the means to protect themselves. So that's another mess from the students. Now, you and I both know how nuts it is to ask police to police without weapons. All right, we're not in jolly old England, where things, well, at least used to be a little more civilized. They're going to weapons now in many cases as well. But, okay, this is the students that just, you know, we're talking about. I don't really expect much more from them because these students, especially in some of these liberal colleges, live in some type of weird alternate reality anyway. But here's something going on in Baltimore that will blow your mind. If you listen to this show, you'll know that I spoke about this particular topic, and that is that the school district of Baltimore, now we're talking about one of the most violent cities in the country. The government that runs the school district in Baltimore unanimously voted to not arm their police. The only place that cops are allowed to carry guns is out off of the school grounds, which of course makes zero sense, especially considering the Parkland school shooting and all the other school shootings. But the brain trust the council that runs the school district, they voted not to give their cops guns. Well, not 2 weeks later. An armed subject walks into the school and opens fire in one of the Baltimore schools, shooting one of the staff members. Luckily, there happened to be an armed police officer in the school at the time, and he was able to take down the suspect, arrest him. So at least the school district had the brains to say, okay, I guess we learned our lesson. Let's arm our cops. So they voted to arm the cops. And then what happens? In this unbelievable world that we live in now, the lawmakers of Baltimore, the state house delegation, voted against allowing the officers to be armed. The lawmakers block a bill to let Baltimore school police officers have guns. It is absolutely shocking that elected officials are so brainless in Baltimore that they would even turn down, after a school shooting, allowing cops to have guns. It shows you the anti-law enforcement agenda is alive and well in Baltimore. And I don't know. I think maybe Baltimore just is broken. Everything that comes out of there seems to be a screw-up. In fact, former Baltimore police commissioner is now facing prison time for tax evasion. I mean, everything that comes out of Baltimore sounds like it comes out of California sometimes. So great job, Baltimore legislators. If a police officer is unlucky enough to work for you, he now has his life in your hands, which is really, really frightening. Now let's go to Portland, another one of my favorite places to talk about when it comes to madness and policing. Now, these guys are so out of touch with any sense of normalcy or propriety. The commissioners of the city of Portland have now decided to consult with prominent Black Lives Matter activist Dekay McKesson on the Portland police contract. You couldn't make this stuff up. This guy, McKesson, is a Black Lives Matter, quote, leader, unquote. And what is their political agenda? Well, I think it is, let's get rid of all cops. Yeah, let's disband all police departments. That's what their agenda is. And these morons on the Portland City Council, it seems like they want to just pour money into some political activism. So now they're paying this guy, McKesson, who knows about as much about police contracts as my cat does, and they're going to pay him thousands and thousands of dollars to advise them about what should be on a police contract. I mean, it doesn't make any sense in any stretch of the imagination. But this is the city of Portland. They're just about as brainless as the superintendent of the schools in Baltimore and the state legislators there. Now, talk about crazy. California, it never ceases to amaze me what these guys will come up with next. Now, you'll remember that a few weeks ago, the district attorney in Sacramento ruled that the law enforcement shooting of Stephen Clark was justifiable. Clark, of course, was the career criminal who was observed by neighbors breaking into cars and houses. And when the police got there, he ran away from them. And then instead of in the darkness, when they found him in the back of a house, they told him to put his hands up, and instead he walked towards them with an object in his hand that they thought was a gun, and they shot and killed him. Well, it turned out it was his phone, and it turned out that it was a suicide by cop, that he had been looking for methodologies to commit suicide. He also had every drug known to man in his system. He had cocaine, he had codeine, he had marijuana, he had meth, he had everything that you can imagine he had in his system. So the protest started as soon as, you know, oh my God, those racist police. Oh, by the way, one of the officers who shot him was Black. That they had to have protests. So, in addition to the protests that took place, people walking the streets, a die-in protest. Yes, you heard me. Die-in was held at the UC Davis School of Medicine, where medical professionals and students participated in a die-in for Stephen Clark. Dozens of medical professionals and students and they held up signs with slogans like "White Coats for Black Lives" and "Black Lives Matter." You know, how frightening is this? That these are medical professionals. These are the people who are going to be treating the police officers who are coming in injured, shot, stabbed, beaten, run over by cars. And they have now made a statement that they care so little about their cops that they are willing to publicly come out and demean them by staging a die-in after a justifiable shooting. I don't know. It seems to me that there should be some type of ethical behavior that would be able to be enforced if when it comes down to medical professionals, unquote. So we got doctors and nurses and clinicians and they're laying on the pavement with slogans and signs draped over them over a guy who forced the police to kill him. I guess the liberal mindset and mentality in California has become something of a so trendy and so disoriented that this makes sense to certain people. I don't get it. I probably never will. You know, this is one of those issues that comes up all the time, especially in California. It doesn't matter how justified the shooting is, that there will be a protest anyway, and it's all part of the anti-law enforcement agenda on campuses, in organizations, and now it looks like even in hospitals. I have a favor to ask of you, my listeners, and that is supporting the organization The Wounded Blue. The Wounded Blue is the national assistance and support organization for injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is a group that I founded, and it is a nonprofit 501c3 charity. The problem is that many police officers, once they're injured or disabled in the line of duty, are often forgotten and abandoned. It is an incredible tragedy how some of these men and women are being treated. Often, financially, they are ruined. Most people don't know this. Most Americans are unaware of this. There is a film that just came out that I produced. It was directed by retired Sergeant Jason Harney. It's available right now on Amazon for rent and for sale, and the proceeds go to The Wounded Blue. It is called The Wounded Blue: Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. You will be shocked when you see this, and you will want to help this organization help those people who are being left to their own survival, if you will. Check it out, www.thewoundedblue, or go to Amazon and get The Wounded Blue documentary. I want to tell you guys about a pretty amazing product. It's called Arrest My Vest Spray. And really what it's designed to do is when you are wearing a ballistic vest, you know, it gets sweaty, it gets hot, it gets drenched, you know, from working out in the street. And sometimes it doesn't smell all that well. And this is an amazing product that takes that odor away. And you don't even have to use it just for the vest. It takes pet odors away. It's great for your vest. It's great for your dog bed. Everything else that you need a deodorizer for, this stuff is amazing. Check it out. It's at stinkyvest.com. Go to stinkyvest.com and check out Arrest My Vest Spray and arrest the odors. I want to tell you about a company called Law Enforcement Specialists. If you are an active duty law enforcement officer and you're looking to work extra jobs like security and traffic jobs, these are the people you need to go through. We all know that working extra jobs is what gives us the extras, gives us that little extra payment that we need, or perhaps gives us the opportunity to take our families out to dinner a little more often. And the only way to do it is to be working extra jobs. So what they do is they're all over America. I think they're in everything but a couple of states. And they work with your organization, your administration, and find off-duty jobs to work. You got to check them out. Go to offdutypoliceofficers.com. That's offdutypoliceofficers.com. And register with them, contact them. Now, if you have security needs, this is the company you want to go through as well. If you are looking for both security or traffic jobs, if you have a company that requires that, you want to contact these folks as well. They're good people. They're based in Arizona, but they have police officers and services all over the country. Go to offdutypoliceofficers.com.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
I have a very special guest with me in the interview room of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. His name is Joe Travers, and Joe is the founder of an organization, Saved in America. He is a former law enforcement officer from the County of Los Angeles, and also a ordained minister, and his organization is incredible. It is saving the lives of missing and kidnapped children, exploited children, sex trafficked children, and he is the founder of this amazing organization. Joe, thanks so much for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Well, thank you.
So let's talk about a little bit about your history. Your personal history as far as your law enforcement career, and then what led you to create the organization Saved in America?
After serving in the United States Navy, I went through the L.A. County Sheriff's Academy in 1980 and then worked in law enforcement in Los Angeles County for the next 9 years. I worked mostly narcotics and gangs, and eventually accepted management position in McDonnell Douglas Corporation. During that time, I became a licensed private investigator, and then eventually went back to college to go to Bible school. And I was doing different types of ministries and work for the church, and came across an article in 2009 about a young girl that was missing named Brittany Trexel. Now, around this time, or what I saw in narcotics and working gangs in the 80s, it went into the 90s, was that the street gangs and the cartels and prison gangs started an evil triad to take over the narcotics trafficking industry in this country. Well, in the turn of the century, this same triad started to take over child sex trafficking. And I knew about that when I read this article, and I thought to myself, well, I hope Brittany isn't caught up in this. And then about a couple weeks later, still in 2009, I read an article of Navy SEALs going overseas and rescuing children from traffickers, you know, in foreign countries. And I thought to myself, you know, we need to do this here in this country, you know, based on my knowledge of this triad taking this over, this child sex trafficking industry here in this country. So I reached out to them, and myself and a Navy SEAL named Jeff Branstad, we decided to put together a group that would go after missing children and runaways before they got taken by the pimp predators, the gang members. We developed a plan that we would have three parts to our organization. Number one, all the people in our organization would have to be either former retired police detectives or former special operators, Navy SEALs, Green Beret, Marine Raiders, those type, that we wouldn't charge for our work. We would be all volunteers, and that we would all become licensed, insured private investigators. Well, we put all that together. Then in December 2014, we recovered our first child, a 14-year-old that was being trafficked since age 11. And since then, since December 2014, we're over 160 recoveries.
That's an incredible statistic. And you know, I think that that most Americans don't know the scope of this problem. You know, how many children go missing every year?
The statistics, according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, there's 300,000 missing children in this country.
300,000?
300,000.
That's an astounding number.
It's an incredible number, and that's why when we saw this, I thought, you know, the game has changed. You know, runaways are the ones that the pimp predators, the gang members, look for to bring them into trafficking. So that was the idea. By the way, Brittany Drexel, you know, was the catalyst for all this. We found out a year ago that she did run away to South Carolina to a hotel for spring break. A gang member trafficker coerced her out of the hotel, took her across state lines in North Carolina to a gang house where all the gang members, they beat her, they raped her, and then later when she tried to escape, they shot her and fed her to alligators.
That's one of the most horrendous stories I can imagine. The family of this young woman, they were left with that without even knowing where their daughter was until years later, right?
Yes, they had no idea. And then when I found out that the tragic result, obviously last year, I felt completely, I thought, what can I do for this family? So I reached out to Brittany's mother, and what we did is we developed a Brittany Drexel Scholarship Award, and our first presentation of that award was in November last year at our fundraiser in Del Mar, California, and we brought Brittany's mother over to the fundraiser to present the Brittany Drexel Scholarship Award to a sex trafficking survivor. So that was really incredible to, you know, give Brittany Drexel's name new life.
It's almost mind-boggling that this exists 2019 in America, that 300,000 children can go missing. How many of those 300,000, I don't know if you know this, how many of those 300,000 are reunited with their families?
You know, I really I don't have that statistic. I do know that the longer they're gone, the harder it is to find. I do know one thing. I know there's 160 that are recovered,
That's the 160 that your organization recovered.
Correct, right. So when we go after a child, that's what we do. We recover the child. We have not yet failed in recovering the child that we went to look for.
And that in and of itself is just an amazing statement. So I think that the fact of the matter is that your organization is very unique. You have highly qualified people. And I find it really interesting that you reach out to SEAL team members, special operators, and law enforcement, but you don't just take everybody that wants to, you know, help out. I mean, you have some very strict protocols when it comes to recruiting.
Oh, absolutely. We just won't take anyone. We have 42 personnel now. There is an attorney on staff, and we have a fundraising person, and we have a small team of social networking investigators. And this is basically where we find the child is the social networking. And just to give you an example, this is a true story from a child, 14-year-old child from Nevada. Her mother, you know, went to take her to school in the morning, went to her room, and the window's open, and she calls the police. The patrolman comes and takes a report and asks, do you know why she's gone? And, of course, mom doesn't know, because the answer is in social networking. It's in one of the applications that the predator, who at that time, and we found the predator, 28-year-old gang member, he coerced her through social networking out of the house, and he took her to Mexico, and that's where we found her. We recovered her with the help of the Mexican police and with the federal authorities, and the bad guy went to jail. But that's how it works. It's these gang member predators, they go after our children, and mostly in the public junior high and high schools. They develop a relationship with them on social networking to coerce them outside of their home, outside of their safety net, and then they ply them up with drugs, they beat them, and they prostitute them.
Most Americans are unaware that there is an entire subculture in the sex trafficking business, the pimps, the gang members. It actually is a almost a coordinated effort amongst this group of individuals. They have roots that they take where they sex traffic these young women to sporting events, to different conventions and things like that. Have you run into that situation?
We've recovered girls in all different areas. I mean, even homeless communities, where they were trading the girls, in large homeless communities. I've talked some large ones. That one we found here in San Diego County, we were looking for a 15-year-old girl, and she left, and they had her sold. We got her, but they had her sold to one of the gang members who was supplying the drugs to the homeless community, because they control the drug trafficking. So what they did is the keepers of the store, they call them there in the homeless communities, the ones that are kind of in charge of these certain areas, they bring these kids in that are homeless, and then they sell the kids to the gangster for drugs.
It's so sordid. It's so evil. It's got to be a tremendous amount of self-satisfaction when you recover one of these girls. But they're so damaged by that time, even in a short period of time, because they've been not only sexually abused, but they have been, hooked on drugs as well. So how do you move past that? How do they move past that? And how do you work with the parents in order to try and kind of recover a life as well?
Well, we have a rehabilitation director that works with us, what she does is she starts this process with the parent. Once the parent contacts us, or somebody contacts us and puts us in touch with the parent, we have a process that the parent has to fill out these forms and then sign a power of attorney so we can talk to public agencies. And then we start the process of looking for a rehabilitation facility immediately, because there aren't very many. So with the hopes, if we do find their child and they have been trafficked, that we have a place for them to go to immediately. Our average turnaround time from the time we take a case to finding the child is about 5.5 days. Although one case we chased a 15-year-old girl from California across the country and recovered her in Jacksonville, Florida. That was about 5.5 months. So with the average, again, 5.5 days, the cost, we have volunteers and we don't get paid and don't take any money, but there is a cost to it, which is equipment and expenses, and that's about $6,000 a child.
Well, I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot of money when you consider what's at stake here, but when you're a nonprofit organization, those dollars are, you know, few and far between. So you've got to do a lot of fundraising. How do you do your fundraising?
The last 2 years we had our first fundraiser in San Diego 2 years ago, our second annual, and we called Child Saved Not Sold, # Child Saved Not Sold fundraiser in Del Mar, and then we have our first annual fundraiser in Las Vegas this April 24th. So we're going to move from one fundraiser a year to two a year. And just generous people, they go to our website and they donate. They see this problem. Runaways, we get the runaway out of the 160 recoveries. 60% of the time we get the child before the pimp does. But there's that 40% where they need very long-term rehabilitation. So when we get a case, we look at it as, you know, we need to find this missing child, this runaway, before the gangsters do.
It's literally a race for time for someone's life.
There was a study that in the first 48 hours that a child is missing, that 60% of them are approached by a trafficker.
Wow, that's... It's like they have some type of animal sense, some predatory sense that there is a victim and someone, you know, that is in a position of vulnerability that they can exploit.
And that's what it is. They're children, you know. They may be delinquent, they may not be. We've had them anywhere from extreme delinquent to not at all. I mean, we've recovered a child that was training for the U.S. Olympic team. We've had children with one parent, two parents. We've had recovered foster children with no parents. So the spectrum goes all over, because it's not that the predator is looking necessarily for a delinquent or someone with one parent or no parent. The predator is looking for a commodity. And that's a child that they could sell and sell repeatedly, because once they sell drugs, their commodity's gone. But in child sex trafficking, they can resell the commodity over and over and over again.
It's such a, you know, we're talking in terms of human beings, and to realize that there is a segment of society that treats these girls as just that, a commodity. I mean, it's just it's pretty shocking. Now let me ask you this: we talk about girls, but do boys ever get trafficked as well?
Yes, they do. We don't come across it, though, not nearly in that frequency. We have recovered 5 boys. None of the ones we recovered were trafficked. There were other sets of situations, but I understand that happens, but not nearly at the frequency of a young girl.
Interesting, interesting. So your organization, Saved in America, it doesn't matter the circumstances that these children are missing. It's just that if they are missing, you're going to find them.
Correct. That's our mission. We don't turn anyone down. If your child is missing, go to our website. We'll help you find your child.
When you're out and about, I mean, we're talking about some dangerous people here. I mean, gang members are known to go, they're known to be armed. They are, they're evil human beings. They clearly don't care about the sanctity of life. So what does, and I know that all of your team are basically warriors. These are people who have been involved in special ops and also in law enforcement. So we're not talking about shrinking violence here. What does it look like when you are conducting an investigation? Is there any ever physical interactions that take place between your teams and the suspects?
Yeah, amazingly, we have a strict set of protocols, and in basic, I'll kind of go through our six-step process. Is parent gets a hold of us, we get the paperwork filled out, we send that to a social networking investigator who then develops leads, sends it to our workable intelligence guys, which are mostly the street cops, because we know how to pound the pavement. Once we get towards something actionable, that's when we bring in our special operators, who are, as you know, our silent warriors. And what they do is they conduct surveillance until they get eyes on the girl or the bad guy, and then we call in law enforcement. So law enforcement are the ones who come in and extract the child, or the bad guy. Unbelievably, in the over 160 recoveries, we've never had to touch anyone.
That's amazing. I'm surprised that there haven't been confrontations where your lives are in jeopardy.
Yeah, and that's the way we try to keep it, that we don't want to cause more harm that's already being caused. So the way we structured what we do is, so we become basically technically the eyes and ears for law enforcement, because they don't have the resources a lot of times to go after missing child cases and runaways. So that's where we fill in the gap. We go out, we do the surveillance, we keep the reports, we pass the reports on to law enforcement. We even pass it on. We have an attorney on staff that sues the bad guys civilly.
I love that. I love that. Turn the criminal justice system into a weapon against the bad guy, the civil system. I like that.
Yeah, this is being from the Navy, all hands on deck problem. I mean, we cannot allow our children to be enslaved for this. This is ridiculous. We know who it is. It's the street gang members that are doing it. And we decided, our team, we're just not going to let it happen.
And I tell you, you guys are real heroes. And I don't generally use that designation very often. But, 160 children reunited with their parents. That's phenomenal. 100% success rate. That's unbelievable. So how does a parent connect with you if they need help? How do they connect with obtaining your services?
Go to our website, savedinamerica.org, savedinamerica.org, and go in there. There's a link that says need our help. And just follow it. If you're listening to this and you know of somebody, or in the future you know of somebody who's missing their child, get a hold of us or let them know that we exist. We've had tips, some great tips from law enforcement who have, told people about us, and they, got online, got a hold of us, and then we ended up finding the child for them.
Let's talk about the law enforcement aspect of this. there are, the scope of the problem is amazing. I mean, 300,000 missing children each year. And many of these occur in jurisdictions that are, you know, overworked and have heavy caseloads. And they don't really devote that much time to a runaway in very many circumstances, because they view that as a voluntary voluntary action, if you will. So sometimes the resources that are devoted by law enforcement aren't adequate. Do you ever get non-cooperation from law enforcement, or pretty much is it a thanks for the help?
We pretty well mostly we get good cooperation. It's you know, we're glad somebody else can help. Sometimes it might be a little standoffish at first, because obviously, you know, when you don't know somebody, how they operate, you know, it's just a natural thing. You know, who are these guys, right?
Yeah, sure, right.
But on our website, we have letters from sheriffs and police chiefs and parents. So, and that's one of the things that we don't want to get in law enforcement's way. Most of half our guys, former law enforcement, they know. They don't, you know, we don't want to get in their way. We want them to do their job, but we just want to supplement and help in the areas where they don't have the resources. I do think, though, that runaway children needs to be re-looked at, re-evaluated. It's like you said, it's just not a child running away anymore. You have, and we know, these gang members, these recruiters that are using social networking to coerce them from their homes. So even though you can't, you don't know what the why they left, the answer is in the social networking. And I think more departments need to look at that, maybe bring in social networking analysts on their missing persons team, so they don't miss this connection with the gangs and the social networking and the coercion of children, pulling them from their homes.
Yeah, I agree. And I wonder if the time and resources needed to go into this social media, and then also, you know, subpoena phone records and things like that. I wonder if, because of that that time issue, you know, local law enforcement isn't missing the ball here when it comes down to, you know, jumping on a case immediately and trying to recover that child before they, you know, they run afoul of these animals out there.
Yeah, and that's worth it to us as a community to expend that little extra money on that resource, because it, once the child is trafficked, we're talking 2 years or more to turn that child's mind back on, right? You know, it's just... If they ever recover, and because it's just so twisted, the way, you know, they psychologically coerce them, they beat them, they gang rape them, they just treat them like an animal, to take away all their freedom and enslave them. And it just takes a, and then of course we're not talking about the drugs involved, the heroin. You know, you put an opiate in a young mind like that, I mean, how long does that take?
I'll tell you, you know, it's so frustrating and devastating to realize that this is, that these tragedies are befalling our children. I tell you, it makes me happy to know that there are warriors like you and your team that are willing to expend your time, your energy, your expertise for, you know, this amazing cause. You know, a lot of my audience is law enforcement, former law enforcement or active duty. If they want to get involved and assist your organization, what are the things that you look for as far as bringing on additional personnel?
You know, I'm glad you said that. We just started a new Saved in America Reserve program. We call a QRF, Quick Reaction Force. So any licensed, insured private investigator or current law enforcement or special operator can go online, go look to to volunteer, fill out the appropriate paperwork, and then we do the screening process if you could be our boots on the ground across this country. So when we do the social networking investigation, you get time to go out and collect intelligence, you can assist us with that. And we just started that program. We have over 50 private investigators, combination of private investigators, officers, and special operators across the country when we just started that about 3 months ago.
Well, that's awesome. Now, can they get that information from savedinamerica.org as well?
Yes, savedinamerica.org at the volunteer tab.
Fantastic. Well, you know, you're doing amazing work. I urge my listeners to go to savedinamerica.org, familiarize yourself with this amazing organization, support it in any way that you can. They're going to be doing a fundraiser here in Las Vegas on April 28th, correct?
April 24th, and before we do the fundraiser, for the 2 days before, we're going to actually look for every missing child in Las Vegas.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about that. I think that's an amazing way to do a fundraiser. How do people get tickets for that?
Again, go online. It's right on the front. They have the banner. Events are right on the front. You'll see the flyer for the event in Las Vegas. Our guest speakers include a detective from Nevada who we worked with to bring home a child. Former Attorney General Adam Laxalt, and the current county sheriff. So, amongst others, will be there to help support us and get the word out that we have to put an end to this modern-day slavery in our country.
Joe Travers of the Saved in America organization, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be my guest in the interview room at Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, to tell your story, talk about your amazing organization, and I want to thank you for everything that you do for the children of America.
And thank you very much.
I want to take a moment and tell you about the books that I have written and are available on Amazon.com. My first three books were all law enforcement related, and they were stories. My first was True Blue, Police Stories by Those Who Have Lived Them, followed by A Cop's Life, and then the third, True Blue to Protect and Serve. My latest book came out just in September. It's called The Power of Legacy, Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People. And this was an amazing book for me to put together. They are the stories of people throughout this country, people who have done amazing things with their lives, about who their personal heroes were and how they inspired them. This is a book that I hope will touch the lives of people all over this country. If you get a chance, check it out, Amazon.com. It is The Power of Legacy, Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People.
I'd like you to meet Susan Price, Gold Star mother and weekly columnist on America Out Loud. Susan, as a Gold Star mom, what does patriotism mean to you?
Taking part in America at a larger scale of all the issues taking place today. Our blood is red, white, and blue. Patriotism to me means taking a stand and let your voice be heard.
Speaking of which, there's an old saying that you either get involved in politics or politics will get involved with you. So when we say, let the silent voices be heard, how do we turn the tide of ignorance in the world today?
Wow, and how profound is that? We get out there, we let our voices be heard, we educate our children.
As a weekly columnist on America Out Loud, Susan, you're sort of like an investigative reporter. Or sometimes we call that in the business, like a dog with a bone. So, what is your ultimate goal with your weekly column on America Out Loud?
The one goal that I have in mind is to raise the consciousness of the subject at hand, especially those who are clueless and have no idea that there is a problem in the first place. That's making a difference.
Our goal is simple, to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. It's to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications.
End of Watch with Randy Sutton.
Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we pay respects to the men and women of the profession who have made the ultimate sacrifice and given their lives in the line of duty. This week I have four names to read. The first is Corporal Daniel H. Groves of the Colorado State Patrol. Corporal Daniel Groves was struck and killed by a vehicle on I-76 near mile marker 47 west of Rogan during a blizzard. He was assisting a driver who had slid off the road when another vehicle traveling too fast for conditions also slid off the road and struck him at 11:20 a.m. Corporal Groves was transported to Platte Valley Medical Center, where he succumbed to his injuries a short time later. Corporal Groves has served with the Colorado State Patrol for 12 years. Corporal Daniel H. Groves, Colorado State Patrol, End of Watch, Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. The second is Deputy Sheriff Ryan Thompson of the Kittitas County Sheriff's Office in Washington. Deputy Sheriff Ryan Thompson was shot and killed in the line of duty in the city of Kittitas following a vehicle pursuit at approximately 7:45 p.m. He had responded to a traffic complaint involving a road rage incident and attempted to stop the involved vehicle. The driver fled along I-90 and exited the interstate into Kittitas, where a city officer joined the pursuit. The vehicle came to a stop in the area of North Pierce Street. The driver opened fire on the officers, fatally wounding Deputy Thompson and seriously wounding the Kittitas officer. The subject was shot and killed in the ensuing shootout. Deputy Thompson is survived by his wife and three children. Deputy Sheriff Ryan Thompson, Kittitas County Sheriff's Office, Washington, End of Watch, Tuesday, March 19th, 2019. The third officer is Police Officer Paul Rutherford of the Phoenix Police Department in Arizona. Police Officer Paul Rutherford was struck and killed by a vehicle near the intersection of 75th Avenue and Indian School Road at 8:30 a.m. He was directing traffic at the scene of an earlier accident when he was struck. He was transported to a local hospital where he succumbed to his injuries a short time later. Officer Rutherford was a U.S. Air Force veteran, had served with the Phoenix Police Department for 23 years. He is survived by his wife and two children. Police Officer Paul Rutherford, Phoenix Police Department, End of Watch, Thursday, March 21st, 2019. And the fourth officer is Deputy Sheriff Peter Herrera of the El Paso County Sheriff's Office in Texas. Deputy Sheriff Peter Herrera succumbed to wounds sustained when he was shot after pulling over a vehicle in San Elizario at 1:50 a.m. He had stopped the vehicle for a registration violation near the corner of Chicken Ranch Road and Socorro. He approached the car and asked the driver to step out. As the driver exited the vehicle, he fired 15 rounds, striking Deputy Herrera multiple times. Deputy Herrera did not have an opportunity to even draw his own weapon. The driver and the passenger then fled the scene in the vehicle, but it stalled out several blocks away. The two then fled on foot, but were located and apprehended a short time later by responding deputies. The driver was charged with first-degree murder. A civilian and members of the U.S. Border Patrol and El Paso County Sheriff's Office provided aid to Deputy Herrera. He was transported to a local hospital in critical condition, where he succumbed to his wounds 2 days later. He had served with the El Paso County Sheriff's Office for 11 years and is survived by his wife. Deputy Sheriff Peter Herrera, El Paso County Sheriff's Office, Texas. End of Watch, Sunday, March 24th, 2019. May they rest in peace. Thanks so much for tuning in again this week to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I hope you enjoyed the commentary, and I hope you enjoyed the guests that I had on this week. Couple things. One, I would love for you to follow me on social media. Go to Facebook, the Voice of American Law Enforcement. That's the Voice of American Law Enforcement. Like that, follow that. If you're a Twitterer, at LT Randy Sutton. That's pretty easy to remember, at LT Randy Sutton. Now, the other thing I'd love for you to do is check out my new television show. Yes. Go to your app right now and download OpsLens, OpsLens. OpsLens. That is a brand new streaming network. And my show, it's called True Blue, the voice of American law enforcement, will be there in all its finery. Check it out, OpsLens. OpsLens, or go to OpsLens.com, but it's cooler if you go to the app, download it, and watch the show there. I'll see you again next week.